Call to order the meeting of the Carson City Airport Authority for Wednesday, November 19th, 6 p.m. We are at the Carson City Community Center. Can we have a roll call, please?
Chairperson Williams.
Present.
Vice Chairperson Hutter. Member Griffin. Member Posick.
Present.
Member Shirk.
Here.
Member Stotts.
Present.
Member White.
Here.
A quorum is present.
Thank you. Would you rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item is approval of minutes from the October 15th meeting. Are there any comments, additions, or corrections?
No.
Seeing none, we stand in need of a motion for approval of the minutes.
I move we accept the minutes of last month as presented.
Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, if there be any? Seeing none, the motion carries unanimously. Modification of the agenda. The chairman reserves the right to modify the agenda in order to most effectively process agenda items. I see no reason with two items on the agenda to make any changes. Public comment. Members of the public who wish to address the airport authority may speak on agendized and non-agendized matters related to the airport. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person or topic. If your item requires extended discussion, please request the chairman to calendar the matter for a future airport authority meeting. Anyone wish to speak at this point? Seeing none, we'll move on. Consent agenda. We have nothing on consent for the evening. That brings us to public hearings. The first item, discussion and possible action to approve the reduction of area, extension of term, and restatement of the Carson City Airport lease agreement regarding the airport lease with James K. Wickersham, Shade Tree Aviation, regarding that certain lease dated August 20th, 1981, recorded as document number 6395 as amended in 1988, 1996, 2003, and 2014. Mr. Takis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This item is, I think I prefaced it and explained it in part at a prior meeting, but Mr. Wickersham currently holds what is probably the oldest lease now on the airport. It's a lease that was entered into in 1981, and it expires in August 20th of 2017 by its terms. We sat down with Mr. Wickersham and his attorney, Scott Heaton, who's here to answer any questions you might have, and tried to come up with a solution so that Mr. Wickersham can continue operating his business on the airport and not have to start stepping into shutting the business down, you know, looking toward a 2017 termination date. And the solution we came up with, in part with help from the DA's office, is there is a statute that allows an extension of an existing lease if the lease is less than 25,000 square feet in area. Now, the Wickersham lease, which is the old Sage Air lease, is larger than 25,000 square feet. So our solution was reduce the footprint of the lease down to a number that's under 25,000. And then under the statute, if we do that, we can go ahead and give a 3-year extension plus 2 additional years. In other words, we can give a 5-year extension. And so that's what we negotiated with Mr. Wickersham. Now, keeping in mind that what he will be renting is not bare ground like, you know, many of the other leases we've done, but actually an improved parcel, albeit with an older hangar that requires some maintenance, we agreed to $1.20 a square foot. And so what we have in front of you is a lease extension document that doesn't take place until August of 2017. But it would give Mr. Wickersham the comfort factor to know that he's got another 5 years on his lease. He doesn't need to ramp his business down. He can grow his business or continue to grow his business. And And it also gives us the assurance that we know what's going to happen for that next 5 years, with one exception. And the one exception is if the law were to change or there would be some other reason why Mr. Wickersham would not want to go forward with the extension, we've left in here the option for him to notify us, and then this document basically becomes a nullity, and then in August of 2017, we take over the hangar and the property, and then we decide what to do with it. And we did that purposely because if there's a law change or something else that wouldn't require him to reduce it to 25,000 square feet, he'd probably want to continue to operate the entire area. And, of course, those will all be topics for some later discussion. But what this does is this puts him in a position and puts us in a position so that he can continue to operate his business. And it also gives us a substantially higher rent than what he was paying under the old lease. And so if you have any questions of me, I'm happy to answer them. Mr. Heaton is here, who I've worked with on this. He is Mr. Wickersham's attorney, and I know that he would also be happy to answer any questions you have.
Any questions or comments from board members? Morris?
I have a question. How do you know? Just started going down the table. Hey, I noticed in the NRS that you quoted, it says you can have a three-year extension with two more years of option, but the way you phrased in the lease, it says the term should be 5 years. So is that everything's kosher there? That you don't have to spell out the 3-2 or reference NRS 244?
I don't think we do.
Okay.
You know, the fact that the statute allows for 3 plus 2, I think we're safe in just going ahead and putting in 5. You know, we talked a little bit at one point about should we just do 3 years for now and come back. And from the standpoint of planning a business and trying to encourage economic activity out there, it's in our interest and Mr. Wickersham's interest to actually just do 5 instead of 3 and then come back later for 2.
So one other question, as you went through there, in G, or no, I'm sorry, number 7 on the lease, there's a whole list of things he can do. One of those things not included is exterior cleaning, but he can do interior cleaning. Is that something?
Those uses were copied right out of the existing lease that he has. And so if it's something that he didn't have in there before, we didn't add it in.
Okay.
Although there is a catch-all in there that basically says he can do anything else that we permit on our airport as an FBO activity with our permission. So if there is something else that he wants to do and he can just explain that to you guys can make a decision as to whether or not to allow him.
Okay.
When you look at his list, it's a pretty complete list. He can do pretty much almost every, I think it was also.
Plus he had a lot of the.
He also had more apron area, plus a fairly large tie-down area, which, and he's going to continue to operate all those areas until 2017. And then in 2017, when this extension takes place, that's when the rent jumps up and also this, you know, footprint shrinks down. And so I didn't bring a map. Well, actually, the original lease has a horrendous map attached to it. It's very hard to look at. The better map would be Jim. Jim has lease parcel map. But I think it does. I think their lease includes the area right now that they were using for the smoke jumpers when they were here.
Yeah, since I only have one map, I'll kind of describe it. That's correct. It was the smoke jumpers area, plus a large portion of the apron to the south. And then essentially the same footprint that you see on this exhibit that Steve sent out, but it goes almost halfway out to where the taxi lane center line is on the apron. So it's substantially.
Okay, so then in 2017, does that area that's no longer part of his lease, does that revert back to the airport?
That's correct.
Okay.
Steve, you had a comment? The only comment I'd like to make is to echo something Steve said, that it's pretty hard to run a business, and Mr. Wickersham has been running a reasonably successful business over there for many years. It's jobs, it's aircraft-related activity occurring at the airport, and I, for one, think it's a good idea that we encourage that for not only Mr. Wickersham but other future leaseholders and present leaseholders that may need to keep their businesses operating, because we at present can use all the business we have. So I, for one, am very much in favor of us pursuing this. Further comments from anyone else? Comments from members of the public? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board. Any further commentary? If not, we would stand in need of a motion.
I'll make a motion. I move we approve the reduction of area, extension of term, and the restatement of Carson City Airport lease agreement for the lease with James K. Wickersham as presented.
We have a motion. Is there any discussion or question or comment on the motion?
I second the motion.
Second to the motion. Any further discussion? Then any public comment on the motion as it's presented and stands before the board? Seeing none, we're in need of a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, if there be any? Seeing none, the motion carries unanimously.
Thank you very much.
The second public hearing item, discussion and possible action regarding complaints of low-flying aircraft from residents in the vicinity of Apollo Drive and Bowers Lane, requested by Mr. Myler. Before we have the public comment, I did want to make two comments. One, the Airport Authority does not have the right or authority to regulate aircraft while they are in flight. That is strictly the province of the FAA Flight Standards Office, and they're the only ones that can act on that. We, however, as citizens of Carson City and a board that wants to keep our neighbors in good, you know, keep good relationships with our neighbors, want to help whenever we can. And prior to the public comment, after the last meeting, we did request that Mr. Rowe investigate the matter prior to agendizing it, and I was going to ask him to make a comment prior to that as to what has occurred since the last meeting. Tim?
Since the last meeting, we have been able to coordinate a FAA safety team meeting in Minden, Gardnerville, at the Carson Valley Inn, because it has the meeting space that we need. Bobby Thompson at Minden has been kind enough to host that, and we are helping with refreshments and such for the meeting. I have put out a general email to all tenants on the airport and have talked to several, including Mr. Myler, to invite him and some of the neighbors who have concerns to come down and be at that meeting. So it's going to be a concentration on regulations with emphasis on operating non-towered airports such as Minden and Carson City. So the emphasis is going to be about operating in and out of Carson City and Minden. So we hope to have a good turnout, and you know, we want to address all the concerns that we can with that meeting. And having said that, what other concerns I get, other phone calls I get from folks in the neighborhood about aircraft that may not be operating as per a normal procedure, I talk to those folks, and usually they say that won't happen again. The flight school that we had a problem with are now doing some of their emergency procedures out at Silver Spring Airport. So we're trying to cut that problem at the Carson Airport to avoid the residential area around the airport.
Thank you, Tim. Mr. Myler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the authority. I probably wouldn't have made this complaint, but when I saw that plane in July coming right pretty much over our telephone pole,
probably about another telephone pole higher. I could almost see the people in the cockpit. It was very disconcerting. I was out there doing work and looking right at them. That's not good when I see the recommended flight path over our house and our neighbor's house. If you notice from the document that I've given to you, I took a survey since I was here last month and was out when I was outside only, and these are times when it occurred again, not necessarily that low, but then when they were flying right over our house. There was one that came awfully close again, and it seemed to be from the same pilot school. I couldn't get it, couldn't read the number on the plane, but it looked like similar to the plane I'd seen before. The plane I saw before had a blue stripe on it, and then I had the number here from that plane. But this one didn't have a blue stripe. It had, I think it was a yellow stripe, but it looked like the same kind of plane. And every afternoon, I usually walk my dogs around Apollo and was able to observe this same kind of thing around 3 o'clock. If you notice, a lot of these are around 3 o'clock. That's when I usually walk my dogs. It is a concern for us, and we realize that you may not have the authority to tell them that they can't do it, but you certainly can instruct them that they need to be good friends with us, and that's what we're requesting, that something be done, you know, telling them, you know, we don't want to have another accident on Apollo as we have had in the past. And that's basically what we're requesting. I would like to be at that meeting on the 1st in Carson Valley, and it's going to be on my calendar. I don't know if anybody else will be coming. Linda Graber is my neighbor. She has a letter in there here. She could not be here tonight because of a prior commitment. But perhaps the two of us can be at that meeting with the FAA. When they came to talk to me, they weren't very encouraging. But I told them, I says, I don't care if they're training for emergencies. I don't think it should be happening over my house. When I explained exactly what happened, that he was so low that I was afraid he was going to actually crash into my house. And they said, well, that really shouldn't happen. But they didn't give me any encouragement. I think they thought if they just came out and talked to me that it would go away, but it did not. It hasn't gone away. So all I would request from this body is that some instruction be given to them or request that they avoid this. I'm glad to hear that the pilot school is trying to do their emergency stuff in Silver Springs. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Just again, by way of commentary, we have and always do address these kinds of concerns with the pilots and the schools, if it's a school, whenever we know it and we can. We really do value our good relationship with the neighborhood and certainly hope that we can maintain that. By all means, you and any other neighbors that you have should plan to attend that flight safety seminar that's going to be held. It's important that you also understand, you know, the basic operations of flight, because there's certain requirements that airports have, and we have to meet those. Hence, you see the flight path. Those are pretty much prescribed. We don't determine those. The FAA does. What we can determine is where the minimum height is, but there is a maximum that height can be at, and we're pretty much at that for this airport. So we would encourage you to attend that, and please, you and your neighbors, should anything occur, the attention, you know, the matter should be brought to the attention of the airport manager, and we would certainly encourage you to do so. And our airport manager always does try his best to find out if somebody flies in here from Dubuque, Iowa, does something they're not supposed to do, puts fuel in the plane over at the fuel farm and leaves, there's very little we can do about that. We can't even find them, probably. But if it's people that are here at the airport and we know that something is going on, we certainly will address it, because we certainly as I said, value our relationship with the neighborhood and want it to continue on good terms.
I appreciate that. I commented in there about the Learjets. We've never had any problem with them when they take off, particularly the state Learjet. It makes a lot of noise, but they always follow the flight pattern when they're coming in and when they're leaving. I'm surprised that the others can't do the same.
Just, again, a quick point of reference. The jets and turboprops, which are the bigger airplanes, all have a higher requirement. They have to be separated from the slower, smaller aircraft. So they always have to be above them. So they're another 800 feet higher than those, the aircraft that are 1,000 feet above the ground when they're flying the pattern around the airport, except when they start to descend for the airport. The jets and turboprops are another 800 feet above that because that's another FAA requirement. They're faster, and they require more distance to slow down to get to the runway. It's just the physics of flight things. But if you can't put the smaller airplanes up that high, or else they wouldn't be able to get to the ground. Gliding would prevent them from getting down low enough. That's why they're at 1,000, and the jets and turboprops are at higher altitudes. But we do want everyone to stay at the altitudes they are, and if they are, then the flight patterns shouldn't be a problem. If they are, people have either misjudged or had a problem and or are doing something they shouldn't. And if we find out they're doing something they shouldn't, we can ask them. We don't have an enforcement authority, but we can certainly ask them as citizens of the airport and neighbors of the Carson City community to abide by and respect the rights of the neighborhood.
Thank you. Any questions?
Any other comments from other members of the board?
Yeah, I just have a question of Tim about the pattern, the noise abatement business here. This doesn't relate to the people on Apollo Drive, I don't think, if I read this incorrectly. But up here in the corner has helicopters departing runway 9, turn right at Gonai Road. Well, if you're departing runway 9, you can't really turn right on Gonai Road. Okay, that's departing runway 27. So where are the helicopters going to go if they come out on runway 9? Are they going to be near Apollo?
The history behind that is we were getting a lot of noise complaints of the Bristow Academy folks flying up in the close to the vicinity of the Gonai Canyon homes. And what we worked out for them to use the north side of the airport to turn right at Gonai Road, fly up and turn across their right crosswind, and then start their downwind leg no further than Boeing Way. And that's to keep them away from the residential area up on Gonai Canyon. The only reason we did that was to allow them to operate, keep them away from the fixed-wing traffic on the south south pattern, and allow them to, do whatever maneuvers they had to do during their training. Once they make the downwind turn off of towards the golf course, and then do a normal pattern after that, runway 27 is not a problem. They just basically reverse the pattern when landing on 9 or towards 9. It's just to keep the traffic away from the residential areas to the north.
Okay, that aspect I understand. If they're taking off runway 27, they would go out and turn right on Gonai Road. Mm-hmm. But if they're taking off on runway 9, as this thing states, do they turn right at Gonai Road? It doesn't, unless they just turn around in the air and go out that way?
Oops. Just a small typo. That should say runway 27.
Oh, okay.
I think that's what we want.
Good. All right. That makes sense.
Thank you.
Easily corrected.
Other public comment on this matter? Yes, sir.
Hi. Don Peterson. I have a couple airplanes at the airport. I've been for some of you set. I was wondering if
my flying might have been part of what led to these this complaint. I don't have a blue and white airplane, so apparently I escaped it this time. But I wanted to comment, partly for your benefit, and we could also speak perhaps after the meeting. There really are two things here. There's departures and there's landings. But as I was listening to this gentleman talk, it sounded like he was referring primarily to arriving aircraft being low. Now, typically, depending on the aircraft, that's not a noise problem. They're just low, and it can be a little alarming to a non-pilot to see that coming in. The reason I came here is I've had 9 in-flight engine failures in single-engine aircraft. It's going to happen again. I fly my patterns very close to the airport. I don't intend, all those 9, every one of them, I put it on a runway. And I will not now have a tent that's off the runway. They're not low approaches by any stretch. In fact, for your information, a long, low approach, as you pilots know, is the dangerous way to come in. So I just wanted to find out if I was part of what generated the query, because of my aircraft, I fly a close left base and a tight final, and they're power off. I doubt they would even know I'm there if they don't look up. So I just mentioned that for the public's sake, that departures, you have jets, they have a lot of power, but they make a lot of noise. You have piston aircraft. On a hot day, they may be low over his house, headed out on 9, but that's all they can do. They're just physically, there's no better way. But if the concern here are approaches, then I would put forward to him as well as to you, the safest approach is a very tight, very steep power-off approach, and that may generate comments from the public about being low, but it's also the one least likely to park it in his backyard, which I think is his real concern. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Don, we've had no complaints about you.
I don't have a blue and white airplane. So
I was going to comment, but I don't know that we need to get too much into
it.
When I was taught to fly, and I fly everything from Piper Cub all the way up to big jets, and I was taught that you never start pulling your power back any further than gliding distance from the runway.
Exactly.
And that was the training pattern. It's been that way ever since people began to learn to fly back when Orville and Wilbur started it all. And it is, as you point out, Don, the safest way to make sure that you do not impact anything. Because when the most likely time there's going to be a problem is with a power reduction. Mm-hmm. And when you pull the power back, you want to be sure that, I mean, I was trained every time I reached over to pull the throttle back, my instructor stuck his hand on the throttle thing and said, okay, now you can't push it in, so whatever you got is what you got. So don't take it away until you don't need it.
Well, my real point here is that you have to interact with the public. They see that map, and they think we're required to fly that nice big red pattern out there over the mine or something. My power goes off of being the numbers, and I'm making a left 180. And they're going to see me over their house gliding it very steeply and very quietly. They might think I have an engine failure. As far as I know, I do, but it doesn't matter at that point. So I just want to share that with you, that the safest approach, the one least likely to end up in your backyard, is a very close approach that's very steep with no power. So
if you're inside that, you probably aren't over the houses anyway. If you're more like over the factories there on the corner.
Right. Could be. But like I say, it's tempting to see that map and the big red thing and think that's where we're supposed to be. And I would argue that's, frankly, not where I would ever be.
I'm curious about your previous 9 engine failures.
I used to fly antique aircraft.
Which phase of flight was that in?
All of them. All of them. I've had departure blow-ups. I've had aerobatic practice. We can go into that later. That's not helping the gang here.
Well, you know, I'm aware of your aviation background and the fact that you're a mechanic and you know everything else.
Right.
And
some of them are mechanic flaws, by the way.
Well, yeah, and I'm not going to profess to know any more than you do about it. But when I fly these approaches, I've been accused of making airliner approaches, just a habit that got instilled in me. It takes me out, you know, beyond the golf course and so forth. I've had quite a few hiccups when I pull the power back all the way to idle. But as long as I'm carrying like 1,100 or 1,200 RPM or 1,500 RPM, my engine doesn't seem as inclined to quit. Now, I don't know what you've been flying, but I'm sure you keep it in tip-top shape. But it's...
Well, like I said, at my point, I've just come to believe after that many, even though a lot of them were antique engines and stuff, I'd rather be where I'm power off and I'm going to make the runway.
Yeah.
And that just keeps me tight to the airport. if I'm not part of the complaint problem, I'm happy with that. But I did want our neighbors to know.
Yeah.
I'll be over their house, but I'm not going to end up in their backyard.
Yeah. Well, I understand. That's a classic safety procedure. I have no issue with your not. It's better you make the airport than it is that you crash on the golf course.
Anyone else? Steve, you have a comment?
I was just going to say, but in all those approaches you're describing, Don, you're not two telephone poles above. If you were two telephone poles above and I was standing with Mr. Myler in his backyard, I'd be a little bit terrified too. There should not be an airplane two telephone poles above
Sure
your
house. But the runway with a glide
right, you've got a glide angle. Yeah, and so, you know, as I listen to the whole thing, it just dawns on me the most likely culprit, if we're going to call it a culprit, would be probably the flight schools, where you have students who are too low to begin with, and they're trying to get back to the runway, and that's something that, if the flight school is based here, that's something we can certainly address with the flight instructors. Try and make sure that's not happening, because we don't want anybody else. There have already been several airplanes that landed in your neighborhood. We don't want any more of them.
I agree with you very, very wholeheartedly. For this man's information, our house is around the corner. We're really not on that long stretch of a pole that's right next to the airport. We're around the corner, and we almost are in my lane. And that's way away from this red line. So if you're going over my house, I think you're way out of the line. And it's happened more than once. I mean, if the FAA makes that recommendation, I understand what you're doing. But, you know, we don't want any more accidents in our area. We've had enough as it is. When you come home at night and you see all these lights flashing, and you go around the corner, and here's a fuselage in the parked in Apollo Drive. It's disconcerting.
Again, thank you, sir. Any other public comment on this matter? I don't believe that we have any action that is required on this, other than what we've already done. Does anyone see need for a?
Need to take any action. I don't know what action would be taken. I think we've laid out a game plan for how we can best assist our neighbors. Certainly, if at any point you're dissatisfied with the actions that you see going on here or responsiveness, you just need to let us know. And Tim Rowe is the primary contact point.
Thank you, Steve. Okay, that concludes public hearings. Airport Engineers Report.
Okay, well, all three apron projects, the construction's complete. All we're doing now is waiting for final invoices to come through. There's been some audits done. We're waiting for some billing from Beth. And once that's done, we'll be able to close out these projects. So, in summary, I provided an exhibit of the various phases. There was three phases. I also have financial summaries. Each project is under budget and well within the funding limit. So if there's any questions.
Questions for Jim?
No, sir.
Seeing none, airport manager's report.
I don't really have anything this month. Everything that was covered in my written brief, which was very light. It's been a nice quiet month. Like Jim said, we're waiting on final billing for the projects and get those paid, and we should be just fine.
Questions for Tim? Seeing none, then legal counsel's report. Steve?
I have nothing additional to report today.
Thank you. Treasurer's report.
Okay. As of October 31st, money market checking, building maintenance account, and gate card fees totaled $508,859.47, which is a little low but being so we're done with all our AIP projects, that should start to rebuild. Total assets and receivables and other assets total $614,611.79. That's it.
Just in terms of the audit finding and our requirements to be sure that we keep an eye on overs and unders, are we over budget on any particular items?
At this point, it looks like we are under budget, showing a percentage that we're doing better than what we thought we would do in the budget this year.
Okay, thank you. As long as we're meeting our audit finding and our requirement to act on that. Any questions for Steve? Seeing none. Any other reports from authority members? Seeing none, public comment. Any members of the public who wish to address the airport? Anything further than from the public? Seeing none, agenda items for the next regular meeting. Comment, Steve?
Yeah, I don't have an agenda item, but frequently it's difficult to meet on the third Wednesday of December because it falls so close to Christmas. And so this would probably be a good time for you guys to decide whether or not there should be a meeting in December, and if there should, when it would be. I don't know. I don't have anything that I'm aware of that needs to be acted on in December by the Airport Authority.
I think you must be prescient, because we all had the same thought immediately before the meeting, and that was the item that I was just going to bring up, that given the past 2 years we haven't been able to do it, and this year I don't see it. Actually, it falls closer to Christmas this year than it did last year. So I would suggest at this point that we plan on not meeting next month unless something of urgency comes up, at which point Tim can draft an agenda, send it out, and act. But barring a major event that requires a meeting, I think we should consider the next regular meeting being in January. Okay. Then that brings us to the point of adjournment. We would stand in need of a motion for adjournment.
I make a motion, we adjourn.
We need a second.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, if there be any? Motion carries.
I have you on my greatest sympathy.